Electromatic radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you may have heard on the evening news or seen on the front page of any one of our nation's many fine daily newspapers, Electromatic Radio has just marked its 100th year on the air. Thank you. From its humble beginnings in a tool shed behind a brothel to its Depression-era fame as America's first entirely automated radio station, Electromatic Radio has boldly refused to use the safety harness while riding the poorly maintained and potentially dangerous roller coaster ride known as the 20th and 21st centuries. So please, join us for the next half hour as we relive the triumphs and tragedies of Electromatic Radio's first century of broadcasting in 100 years of Electromatic Radio. Let's go back now to April 25th, 1905. In a small town called Drakesville, local inventor Amesworth Eden, known the world over as the originator of steam-powered spats, is fine-tuning the experimental transmitter that he hopes will one day replace the nation's primitive telegraph system. Powered by bacon and coal, the transmitter delivers a 1,000-watt signal that is picked up on experimental receivers and fillings for miles around. And this is what people heard.
Dot, dot. Dash, dash, dot. Dot, dot, dash. Dash, dash, dot, 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 dash. Dash, dot, 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 dash.
After broadcasting spoken Morse code messages over the air for a month and a half, an accident occurred that would change radio history forever. As Eden was broadcasting, a nearby table loaded with extremely heavy radio equipment was about to collapse. The date? June
10th, 1905. Dot, dot, dash, dot, dot. Oh my God! My leg! My leg! Oh my God, the pain! Oh, it hurts so much!
And with that providential and crippling accident, spoken word radio broadcasting was born. Imitators soon found their way onto the airwaves.
Oh, my arm! My arm hurts so much! I think I broke it. Yes. Yes.
I believe I'm suffering from internal bleeding. Oh, good Lord.
My lower back hurts something dreadful. Oh, my goodness. What terrific agony.
On the 5th of January, 1907, realizing the entertainment potential of the new medium, Amesworth Eden and local vaudeville theater owner Bradley K. Cooper formed the Cooper and Eden Electromagnetic Wireless Broadcasting Development and Pure Beef Sausage Corporation, beginning regular broadcasting from March of that year from a small studio located in a utility closet in Cooper's Empire Theater. The fledgling broadcasting company entertained tens of listeners with weather reports and filthy limericks.
Hello, all you happy listeners! I hope you're having as wonderful a day as I'm having, because if you are, I just know that you know what a wonderful thing it is to be alive! In fact, if you're feeling even one-tenth as good about life as I am, I'm sure that you know, as I do, that life is a bowl of cherries left on a windowsill on a house on
that, ladies and gentlemen, is the voice of Pat Smiley Fitzgerald, the first regular host of the Cooper and Eden Electromagnetic Wireless Broadcasting Entertainment Program, a beloved local personality who was sorely missed following his brutal on-air suicide. Another Electromatic Radio first! And now, let's move forward in time to 1918. World War One had cost...
Kid, can we snap this up a bit? You said this wouldn't take long, and I got a poker game I'm supposed to be
and
at.
And now let's move ahead to 1929. The stock market crash has decimated...
You can skip that. Nobody gives a hang about that.
1930. The Robot Rebellion.
Keep going.
How about 1932?
Which is that?
Moved into new ultramodern...
All right, that's fine. Just snap it up, would you?
All right, 1932, the Electromagnetic Wireless Corporation has moved into new ultra-modern facilities, featuring the most advanced broadcasting technology on the face of the Earth. And on April 5th, at 9 a.m., the world's first fully atomic and almost entirely hands-free radio programming is unveiled. Electromatic Radio, the radio of the future! The Electrovac won.
Skip it.
Throughout the 30s, 40s...
Keep going.
And, oh, come on, Gray. I've got the tapes already queued up. It took me weeks to clean up those transcripts.
Oh, all right. Whatever. I'll just sit over here and read like I care so much.
Thank
about
you.
This stupid one.
Throughout the 30s, 40s, and 50s, Electromatic Radio entertained listeners with a wide variety of programs, from soap operas to comedies, westerns to mysteries. Mysteries such as the long-running Otto Pevney P.I., starring Frank Crosby.
So let me get this straight, Peterson. You say you couldn't have been your wife's killer because while she was being strangled in the veranda, you were at home reading Volume 4 of The Life of Samuel Johnson by James Boswell. Is that correct?
That's exactly right, Pevney.
And, what edition would that be?
Why, the second edition. London, 1793. Printed by Henry Baldwin for Charles Dilly
and the Poultry?
Why, yes. What?
O'Toole? Place this man under arrest!
But I won't move a muscle, m'lady. Well, saints preserve us. How did you ever figure out that this fellow was the real murderer?
Very simple, Seamus. You see, the second edition of The Life of Samuel Johnson doesn't have a fourth volume. Only three.
Well, faith and begorra, Mr. Pevney. You've made right digits of the police force once again with your clever deductive skills.
I certainly have, my red-headed friend. I certainly have.
When it came to scares, Electromatic Radio delivered them by the truckload throughout the 40s with The Midnight Witching Hour of Haunted Blood.
So, you won't let me marry your daughter, will you?
Never! You're a good-for-nothing, Richard. You simply want to marry Sylvia because you hope it'll put you into a position to take over my lemon groves, the most profitable lemon groves in the state of California.
You're right, of course. But being right won't save you now, old man. Take this!
Beware, Richard. I will be avenged.
Father, I thought I heard a scream. Father! Father! Richard! Is he...
Yes, Sylvia, he's dead. I tried to stop him, but I couldn't prevent him from stabbing himself in the head.
Oh, Father, why?
Before he died, he signed this document granting me full possession of his lemon groves.
Look! What's that outside the window?
It looks like... It can't be!
Lemons! Millions of lemons!
No! No!
They're breaking in! Oh, run, Richard, run!
Get back! Get back! Sylvia! Help me!
Richard!
Ah! The legend was true! Ah!
Well, Richard certainly met with a bitter end, didn't he? When the coroner arrived, he claimed he had never seen a corpse with such a sour expression on its face. Well, his plan almost worked. No one could accuse Richard of being yellow.
Electromatic Radio had its lighter moments as well. Live broadcasting has its share of pitfalls. You can never be quite sure what's going to happen. And that's doubly true when the Madcap Three Stooges are in the studio.
Take that, porcupine.
Oh, Mo. Mo, I can't see, Mo. Help me, Mo. I can't see. Oh, Mo. I can't see. Help me, Mo.
What's the matter?
I got my eyes closed.
Why, you... Oh, you find that funny, do you, Q-Ball?
Certainly.
Pick out two fingers.
One, two.
There.
Woo!
Look out!
Oh my God!
There.
No, Curly's gone berserk!
Look out! No, get away from it! Look out! Go back there! Run!
How can we help? It's the tranquilizer.
Stay out of his way! Get out of there! Back the other way! Don't get anywhere near it!
Here's a riddle for you. What has a round top, a square bottom, no middle, and can never be moved across state lines? The answer may surprise you when we return.
All right, here?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Throughout the 1930s, Electromatic Radio was not only home to great drama and music, the station spared no effort in also bringing its listeners sports events live from around the nation. Here, ringside at the Chicago Stadium, is reporter Paul Murphy giving blow-by-blow coverage of the Joe Louis Daffy Duck fight of March 8, 1935? What?
This is truly an amazing night here, folks. The stadium is absolutely packed. People are crammed in shoulder to shoulder, all eager to see what has been dubbed the fight of the century. Joe Louis, undefeated heavyweight champion, just 3 weeks out from his win over Lee Ramage at Wrigley Field against beloved, obnoxious cartoon duck, Daffy Duck, of Leon Schlesinger Cartoons, Hollywood, California, who on November 9th of last year KO'd Battling Gizzy in round 5 of 15 at the Milwaukee Auditorium, a tremendous triumph for a small pen and ink waterfowl. Louis, of course, an odds-on favorite, undefeated, outweighing his opponent here tonight by 170 pounds. This, of course, is not the first interspecies fight. Many of you will recall vividly the night of September 14th, 1923, when the great Jack Dempsey KO'd Pat Sullivan's much-loved character Felix the Cat in round 2 of 15 at the Polo Grounds in New York.
Ladies and gentlemen,
fight announcer Ben Winchell.
The introductions will be brief, as I know you want action, and the principles of this fight are already well known. Main event, 15 rounds, the principles, in this corner, presenting from Hollywood, California, at 24 pounds, that crazy darn fool duck, the sensational Daffy Duck. And in this corner, his worthy opponent, at 191 pounds, none other than heavyweight champion of the world, Joe Louis. Let's go, boys.
Over in his corner, in polka-dotted trunks and a comically oversized bathrobe, Daffy Duck is dancing now, limbering up, receiving a few words of encouragement from trainer Porky Pig. In the other corner, Louis, in a blue bathrobe with purple fringe, is utterly impassive, no sign of emotion on his face whatsoever. A true fighting machine. Only a few more moments to go. They're now in the center of the ring, conferring with Tim O'Hanlon, the referee, getting their instructions for fighting. We all believe this is going to be a clean and honest fight. And there's the bell. Louis, standing in the middle of the ring. Daffy is running back and forth between his legs. Louis can't find an opportunity to even take a swing at the duck as the cartoon creature stands a mere 3.5 feet in height. Louis bends down to take a swipe at Daffy, but the wily duck has already run between Louis's legs and is making humorous faces behind his back. Louis turns around. He bends down. He attempts a left jab. Daffy gives Louis a right uppercut. Louis is unfazed. Daffy is bouncing like a frenzied rubber ball across the ring. He's riding an invisible bicycle around the perimeter of the ring. Louis gives chase. His mask of cool impassivity is shattered. He's angry. Daffy is now running and bouncing like mad with Louis in hot pursuit. What's this? Daffy is winding up his tail like an airplane propeller. He's taking off. He's flying around the ring. The crowd is going wild. He's dive-bombing Louis. Louis is swiping at the air. He's swatting at the flying cartoon duck as though he were trying to fend off a swarm of bloodthirsty honeybees. Daffy is pulling anvils out of his trunks. He's trying to drop them on Louis, one after another. They keep coming. Louis is trying to get away. He's trying to flee the ring. I cannot believe the referee is allowing this. Oh, Louis takes one to the head. He's down. Louis is down. Cartoon birds are flying in a circle around his head. He has big X's on his eyes and a pulsating red lump on his cranium the size of a Granny Smith apple. He's being counted out. This is outrageous.
9, 10.
The winner and new champion, Daffy Duck!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is indeed a day that will live in infamy. Joe Louis, heavyweight champion of the world, KO'd by an Acme brand anvil, his title taken by a cross-eyed animated duck. Professional boxing in America may never recover from the horrific hilarity witnessed here tonight. This is Paul Murphy for Electromatic Radio.
Well, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this little trip down memory lane as we've revisited some of the great moments and wonderful personalities from Electromatic Radio's past century.
Hey, kid, you know, I hate to burst your bubble, but the sum total of all this falderall is that this station used to be pretty great, but now it's just a shell of what it used to be, and that's kind of depressing.
That's nonsense, Gray. It's true that our salaries have forced you to cut your own hair with deeply embarrassing yet hilarious results and have restricted my diet to ketchup sandwiches,
But what?
I'm hungry. Are you hungry?
No, I'm not hungry. What were you gonna say?
Oh, yeah. But none of that stuff really matters because we're the flag bearers for this thing. We're keeping it alive. 100 years of tradition are resting on our shoulders, Gray. It's the kind of responsibility that gives your life meaning and direction.
Tradition? What are you talking about tradition? We're coming apart at the seams here, kid. It's just enough to get a half-hour show on the frickin' air without having to worry about tradition.
That's where you're wrong, Gray. If anything, what we're doing right now is classic Electromatic Radio.
I don't get you.
Let me illustrate my point for you. Here's a clip from last week.
Hey, kid, we on the air? Matt? Are you in your booth, Matt?
Sorry, Gray. I'll have to get back to you. I'm being attacked by a pack of feral koalas. Is it my eucalyptus you guys want? Is it? Well, you ain't getting it!
Anything to get out of working, huh, kid? Okay,
All right, now here's a clip from Electromatic Radio, May 21st, 1970.
Thomas, are we on the air?
Huh? What?
Thomas, are we on the air?
Like, I have totally no idea, man. Quit harshing my buzz, why don't you?
Thomas, you've suggested to me a desire to join the Electromatic News team on a number of occasions, have you not?
Be a reporter? Oh, wow, man, that would be so groovy! That's like my lifelong dream, man!
Well, go pack your bags, Tommy boy. I'm sending you on assignment.
Far out!
To Saigon!
Oh, wow, Mr. Wilkins, what a bummer!
April 9th, 1943.
Hey, Freddy, are we on the air?
Now we hit him, Superman! Smash them Nazi rats! Oh, pow!
Freddy!
Huh? What was that? Oh, sorry, Buzzy. I was reading a Superman comic book. Oh, that's Superman. What a guy.
Always with the comic books. Would you stop reading them comic books? Everyone knows that them comic books ruins your brain. And if you lose any more of yours, your head won't make that rattling sound I like so much when I slap you.
You're always making like I'm dumb or something, Buzzy. Oh, well, let me tell you something. I got plenty of brains.
Sure, you got brains you ain't even used yet.
Aw, you're so mean, Buzzy.
March 20th, 1924.
Are we broadcasting, Mo? Mo? Mo!
Oh, sorry, Smedley. I was too busy dancing the Charleston to notice. It's really a swell dance, Smedley. You should try it.
I will do no such thing, you addle-pated clown. It lacks the dignity befitting a man of my station.
Come along, Smedley. Hotcha! 23 skidoo.
Mo, you're an oafish jackanape.
See what I mean? What we're doing now is all part of the great Electromatic pattern.
Kid, I don't know whether to feel honored or horrified.
Try both. It's an emotion I call Horner. So technically, you should be Hornerfied.
Yeah, Hornerfied. Great. Kid, do you have an answer for that riddle you asked her in the first segment? That thing about no middle and state lines or whatever that was? What was that? You never said what that was.
Oh, the riddle. I totally forgot. Hold on a second, Gray. I got it down here.
Kid, I think we're running out of time.
Oh, here it is. The answer is...
Electromatic Radio is an Aaron Nethery production. Please visit electromatic.blogspot.com for playlists. Thank you for listening.